Welcome back to the Better Everyday Podcast, where we, yes, we, me, her, and you are unlocking our best self one episode at a time. My name is David Garcia, and this is my beautiful wife, Grace Garcia. And just to reiterate, we, you the listener, I just want to reiterate the purpose of this podcast, not just this episode, but this podcast. The purpose of this podcast is for us to have conversations, for you, the listeners, to hear the conversations and maybe have internal conversations or conversations with other people that, you know, start a fire, start something that's maybe that you haven't done before, something that changes your cycle, something that breaks your cycle. So that's the purpose of this podcast. We would just want to challenge you guys to continue moving forward, to continue getting better, to continue progressing. Not so long ago, me and my wife, we were kind of talking and kind of daydreaming about what this could like flourish into. And actually right now, before we even started this podcast, I was like, take it a little step further. It's a little corny or whatever, but we were talking about like what it could turn into, you know, like if one day we have like the better everyday marriages and the better everyday parenting and the better everyday finances or the better everyday health, like we want to be able to help our listeners in every way possible. Mm-hmm. And while we're going through this process, we ourselves want to continue to get better. Like, I don't think me and you both have this sense of like, oh, like we know it all, or we reach a certain level and we don't have to learn more. Like, I feel like we're always continuing trying to get better, progressing, grow, both in wisdom, intelligence, knowledge, health, everything. I was also taking it a step further. I'm like, man, what if we got like corny and just like, oh, if you go through like this program, whatever that we create or conferences or whatever, like now you're the better everyday champion, you know, like, cause I think part of what we do is like kind of bringing out like the champion spirit, you know, like what are the right things to do? Be disciplined, you know, push through. We're going to all go through hard times, but we're going to continue moving forward. And, yeah, that was just a little bit of us, you know, daydreaming a little bit, dreaming about what are the possibilities or where we believe God has taken us. And kind of on the same note, a couple of days ago, I brought up to my wife the idea for this episode, which is kind of going together with what I just said. Just like, I feel like everyone has, let's say, a calling. Everyone has like this desire in them to do something meaningful. And I don't say great because I feel like in the context of great, a lot of people are like, oh no, like what I want to do doesn't like qualify for quote unquote great. And so I want to say meaningful, right? And I feel like everyone has this desire to do something meaningful. And what it looks like for me is completely different from you, completely different from you guys, the listeners. But I feel like we all have this desire. At least I know I've always had this desire to do something meaningful, something impactful, something like I knew that I wasn't just meant to just live life, right? Like I wasn't just meant to go through like 1-year-old, 2-year-old, all the way to wherever I make it, right? And from a very young age, I always felt, hey, you got to do something. And I guess I feel like whether we want to acknowledge it or not, every one of us have something like that. Like for you, what would it be? Like for you, what would be something that if you didn't do, you wouldn't feel right? You wouldn't feel you?
I think ever since I was a small girl, I've always loved teaching. Mm-hmm. Always wanted to be a teacher. And then I'd go to church and there would be prophets that my dad would invite. And they would give me a word of like, you're a teacher, you're meant to be teaching. And so I think if I never taught in any capacity, I am a public school teacher by like career, but that's even limiting, like just teaching in general, I think I wouldn't feel fulfilled.
Okay. And you brought up hearing words from prophets. Like let's say one of our listeners doesn't know what a prophet is. Like, how much did that really shape your desire to do that? Like if you would have never gotten those people to tell you like, this is what we believe that God wants for your life, Because basically that's what a prophet does, right?
Mm-hmm.
For anyone who doesn't know what a prophet is. If you never got those words, would you still have that desire? Or is it because of those words that you felt like you had that desire?
No, I remember even before those words, I always, after school, would like pretend I'm a teacher and like set up my little classroom mm-hmm. and make my siblings and friends be my students. Then when the prophet said it, in my head, I'm just like, okay, I'm going to be like a teacher, like a public school teacher. But I find myself even outside of the public school setting, like at church, always desiring to teach others.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime I learn something, I get so excited and like want to just share with anyone who's willing to listen. Like I just have a passion for this is what I know and let me teach you what I know. So I think even without the prophet, that's just kind of who I am, my personality. It's part of me.
Okay, so what the prophet did was just reaffirm, like, God sees this in you, I see this in you, like, this is what I see you doing, being a teacher, and it just reaffirmed, like, oh, like, I always wanted to be it, like, this is just, like, oh, cool. Like,
yeah, I think it was confirmation. It was, like
push forward, mm-hmm. right?
And even for my family, I think it, like, confirmed to them.
So we've talked about it before. You are currently a middle school teacher.
Correct.
And you just said it right now. You don't just see yourself as a school teacher, but you see some yourself teaching in other capacities. Could you explain maybe in more detail, or like how do you see that progressing from just a middle school teacher to like whatever it is that you see for your life?
Well, I think even here on the Better Every Day podcast, I feel like I'm teaching from my personal experiences, things mm-hmm. I've learned. And so I feel like this is also like checking that box of like, okay, Teacher Grace did this. But also in church, I think in a religious like setting, we have small groups. And I always love like bringing in the word and saying, this is what I understand the word to do. This is what I've learned from the word. This is what God has shown me. And then this is like, give it to the people in a digestible way, making the Bible not seem so intimidating. And mm-hmm. I get really passionate showing like, yes, this is so many years later, but this is still applicable to us and this still matters to us. And this is how, so even in the religious sense, and then I'm hoping that I don't retire as a teacher in the public school, like in the middle school setting, because I'd love to teach adults too. And like have them kind of understand their potential and unlock things for them. And so that's kind of how I see my teaching. Okay.
Let's dissect that a little bit more. Because you, the listener, I want you guys to put yourself in Grace's shoes. And maybe the questions that I'm asking Grace, maybe ask yourself as you're thinking about, you know, what you feel like your calling is or what you feel like that desire in you is. So Grace is saying like her desire has always been from a very young age to be a teacher. She always knew she was going to be a teacher. She got affirmation, reformation, confirmation from people like, this is what you're meant to do.
Yeah.
And you've always kind of been pushed forward. And I feel like whenever you teach, people are like, oh, like, thank you for that. Like that made so much sense. Like it was mm-hmm. very practical, or like I understood it more, like I grasped more of it. What is it in between the lines of teaching that gives you fulfillment?
I think it's that like aha moment when people realize it, like whether it's in middle school and they're like, wow, I've never even noticed this before. Or how you said in like a person coming up to me and be like, wow, that verse, like what was it? Like writing it down, like it impacted me, or I didn't even know this. Or oh my gosh, this makes so much sense. Just like them seeing or me seeing in them like that aha moment, like coming to realization, like I never saw this before.
Okay. So giving them basically a revelation that they've never thought before. But okay, so one step deeper. Is it the affirmation that God has given you something to give? And it's like, oh, I'm affirming you, like you're doing something great. Or is it simply the fact that you are helping someone?
Is it that? I think it's both.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's God through those, through people saying like, look, you are on the right path. Like, this is what I've created you for. You're doing what your purpose is. And also like helping people, like knowing, okay, this is what I'm good at. This mm-hmm. is my talent. This is how I can serve in this capacity, I think there's fulfillment in both.
Okay. And then have you ever felt like you've failed in teaching, or do you feel like you've always just been good at it?
No, for sure. I felt like a failure. I think I've felt most like a failure in middle school. You want to be humbled, just go to middle school.
But that's not for the sake of, I'm going to defend you a little bit. It's not for the sake of that you're a bad teacher. It's just that you have to learn how to handle 30, whatever.
No, no. I love that you're defending me and I appreciate it. And yes, there's that like, okay, 38 students was my most. Mm-hmm. And it's like one adult here, make sure everyone is learning. Like, obviously. But there's times where I have no idea what I'm teaching. And I'm like, what? This happened? And you go and teach and then they ask you a question. You're just like, I just Googled this. Like, I don't know. You have to be on your toes with them. Like they, and you don't, it's ridiculous. And I always tell my students, like, I don't know everything. It's ridiculous for a teacher to know from ancient civilizations all the way up until like a Reformation. Like there's no way I'm going to know everything in between. I'm learning just with you guys. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there's times where I'm like, what the heck? I just learned this and I'm not super confident in it. I'm just teaching you what I know, but here it is.
Yeah.
It's super humbling being a teacher.
And then what would be one thing that would completely stop you from being a teacher? Is there anything?
No, I think the only thing, I don't think so, but if I let it, it's always like a choice. I don't think anything and anyone can stop me. It'd have to be something crazy, like, I don't know. I can't even think of anything.
Because, okay, let's say the first year that you did middle school, like, that was a whole hard year.
Yeah.
And that didn't stop you. So, I mean, credit to you. Like, I feel like a lot of people that would invest or, like, put their time into doing what they felt called to do, and they felt like they screwed up every single time or it was too hard every single time, mm-hmm. for a whole year, might just like turn around and be like, done.
Yeah.
And, but you didn't do that. But during that hard year, what is it that you felt? Did you feel rejected by the kids? Did you feel like, oh my gosh, like I wasn't prepared for this? Did you feel like, oh, did you question maybe your calling, or did you question like that desire? Like maybe I'm not meant for this. Did you like, what went through your head through all that?
No, I don't think I took it personal of like, these kids don't like me. Because if I spoke to them one-on-one, like they would have said, no, like you're a great person. Mm-hmm. I for me in my head was like, the school system sucks. Like how can one person be with a whole group of kids, 30 something kids that have so many needs? Like I cannot be their everything. Like mm-hmm. I'm not here to babysit. And there's some that have higher needs with IEPs, 504s, which just means like behavior things, learning disabilities, language barriers. And one person in that room with, again, 30 plus students, like it's the system's failing the teacher and the student.
So you never went through any sort of internal struggle?
I went through the struggle of like, I don't think I can be a public school teacher, but I never questioned, am I a good teacher?
Okay. And that's interesting to me, because I feel like a lot of people would question, like, am I good at this? Like, I can't handle this. How did you, like, did you feel like you even had to try to, like, not get to that point? Or because I do feel like I put myself in your shoes and I would have been, like, questioned, like, yo, I can't handle these kids. If I can't handle these kids, like, if I can't grab their attention, like, I feel like part of a teacher's responsibility is grabbing the room's attention and being like, okay, yeah, focus on this. And like being maybe creative, maybe just authoritative. Like, I don't know what the secret ingredient or recipe is to like grab a room full of teenagers, like
attention.
But like, I could see like, okay, maybe I'm not doing this right. I can't figure it out. And if I can't figure it out, like, am I made for this? Like, how did you, I guess, in a way protect yourself from that?
I think, I mean, I did compare myself to other teachers and be like, okay, are these teachers having this problem? If they're not, like, what can I do? Am I lacking in? And I knew for sure my behavior management first year to now isn't the same. And that had to do a lot of like, am I being a pushover? Do these kids see right through me? Mm-hmm. That I'm a people pleaser and they're taking advantage of me? Like, I for sure had those thoughts. But again, I think I didn't take it personal. And I think you've even said when first year we've talked about it was our toxic marriage year too, but you were like, I thought you were good at it. Like, I thought you wanted to be this. I thought you were good at it. Like, why are you saying it's hard for you? Like, then is it, you picked this or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I never took it like personal and like, I'm a bad teacher. I think it was because I'm fighting that I was like realistic. Like, I'm fighting against all of these things. I'm fighting against iPad kids. Them since birth been giving a phone or a tablet. I'm fighting against parents not parenting, which is something that research shows creates a huge deficit in a child. I'm fighting against the lack of resources, the lack of finances. I'm fighting against a lack of school system like caring. I'm fighting against politicians who are, so I'm like, there's not much that one person that is willing can do. Like,
yeah,
I can make an amazing lesson and capture the kids' attention, and then like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then it's over. And it's like, okay, that is not a reflection of my teaching. It's like a reflection of so many other things. So I think just not taking it personal and yeah.
And kind of moving along, do you kind of, are you in the same wavelength as me or do you think differently? Because I said at the beginning, and I guess maybe I shouldn't have generalized both of our points of views, but I said at the beginning, like, I feel like everybody has like this desire in them to do something meaningful, right? Do you feel like everyone has that or do you feel like some just don't?
No, I think if everyone is being honest with themselves, they might not know what that is. Like, I don't know what is meaningful or what I can do, what I'm good at or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But I think it's part of having a creator. Like, if I made, I don't know, this plant, it's like for, or this like vase, it's like for a purpose. Like me, I had something in mind, whether it's to fill up the plant, whether it's to fill it with water, whatever it is, like I had a plan. And so it's just part of our DNA. Like we are creatures created by a creator. And so it, there's obviously a purpose there. Like there's a purpose he created us. And so I think that's just naturally in us, like finding that. And like, we want to know what that is to be able to fulfill it. Cause it's a need.
Yeah. And cause I honestly, like, again, I always go for the underdog and I feel for the people. And I feel like some people listening, or maybe not listening, some people want to open up a business. They've had a desire for years to open up a business, but they're too scared to do it.
Yeah.
Some people maybe want to become a songwriter, but they're too scared to do it. Maybe some people, I don't know, want to be a counselor and they're too scared to do it. Like, There's I feel like there's a lot of people that are caged within the walls of fear that won't allow them to like step into like that desire that they have or step into that purpose that they have. And I am also not saying like, hey, like whatever it is that you go do it right now, because I do also believe that there is a process of preparation. You know, if you want to be a professional singer, you're not just going to wake up tomorrow morning and like, oh, I got it. Like some people have the natural talent, but you still got to work out some kinks that you might have, right? And so what is it that you feel like maybe our viewers might be struggling with in regards to not being able to do what they have a desire to do?
Well, I think it goes back to like how you said in the beginning of my journey, right? Like it wasn't easy being a when I'm saying like public school teacher, that wasn't easy. Like not only did I have to get my bachelor's, but I was a mom at that point and pregnant at that point. Like I could have easily said, it's not my time or clearly it's not meant for me or whatever. Right. And then when I finally did get my first job, like I hated it. I was like, this sucks. Everything's failing me. I'm failing the students. Like it just sucked. And I could have easily said, okay, like that's it. I tried, clearly not. And I think people see those things as like, oh, that's too hard. I'm going to fail. And that's where they stop. And so if you don't push through to see what's on this other side of fear, what's on this other side of hard work, what's on this side of sacrifice, what's on the side of tears, like, I wouldn't be where I'm at today, where I wouldn't have Fearless Misses my TikTok. Like, I believe that first year is where's my forming years, because now I'd be like, I'm a great teacher and my students respect me and I can control my classroom, but I needed that. Like mm-hmm. I am who I am today because of that. And so same thing, I feel like now I'm flourishing in my teaching capacity, but I'm also educating, like companies reach out and say like, hey, can you, like for the sleeping one where I'm like so excited, a company was like, I'll pay you just to educate people on the importance of sleep. Like, we see that you care about education, so just do that. Like, that's awesome. Now I can educate and get paid for it, like, yeah. outside of the teaching world. But I wouldn't have gotten to that point. I wouldn't have seen that if I let those fears consume me, or if I let that comparison, like, this teacher looks like they have it all together, or if I took that personal of, like, this is hard because I suck. And I think people take it like, I'm bad at this. I'm not. And it's like, this world is fallen. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard. You're going to have so many things that you're going to have to overcome. But they make it where their identity diminishes. And yeah. it's like, God created you with a purpose. Like, we've already decided that. Someone created you, which means you have a purpose in mind. And so don't diminish your identity in your light. Don't say, I'm suck. I'm bad at this. I'm like not worthy, or I'm not talented. Like, don't take it personal. It's, this world is hard. It sucks. This system has failed me, but I'm just going to keep pushing through because God has me. And if he has written out this plan for me, I'm going to keep on it. But so many people see it and they diminish themselves. They don't have trust in God. And so they stay there. Like, those problems aren't going to go away.
Yeah.
You have to get there to the other side.
I love the passion. you went for it on that one.
Thank you.
I love it. Very beautiful. And I was telling you, I'm like, I thought about it, and a lot of times I feel like people are in that cage of fear, and like you said, they don't want to see the other side. They're scared to see the other side. They don't know what the other side looks like. It's mm-hmm. the unknown, and they're like, what if I fail? Or what if I get rejected? What if everybody in the comment section tells me I suck? Whatever yeah. it is, like, and a lot of people get caged in that, and it's just like, people, you guys, everybody, including us, mm-hmm. including us, we all need to realize that it is pretty to try your first time, take that leap of faith, and like, okay, I'm gonna do it. I've mustered up all the, like, I've seen videos. There's this jump in Moab, I believe that's in Utah. Mm-hmm. There's this cliff, and I saw this kid do it today. He's tied up, and you just have to, you're cliff jumping. And this, like, you just fall straight down, and finally the string or the rope like catches you and you swing.
Yeah.
But like the first, like, I don't know, 3-5 seconds, like, you're free falling, right? And it's you know, you have to take a chance.
Yeah.
Right. It's so scary. And basically what I was telling you is, like, it would be pretty to try the first time and succeed at it. Mm-hmm. And just nothing bad ever happens. That's a pretty story.
Yeah.
But I think a beautiful story is one where you overcome the fear. That in itself is beauty. Mm-hmm. And then not only that, but maybe you don't, let's say, hit it at 100%. Maybe the first time that you do it is only at 60%. But A, you've already conquered the fear. You already stepped into it.
Yeah.
Now, for the perfectionist, you guys need to be okay with, it's 60%, but I can improve. Mm-hmm. And then as you improve, that's the beauty of the process. That's the beauty of your life progressing. Like, I went from 60, and in about a month, I got to 70. And in another 2 months, I got to 80. And eventually you grew to, like, whatever, professional in that area that you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that in itself depicts the reality of a Christian life and just a normal life in general, actually.
Yeah.
Like, we're all going to have failures. Like, again, I always go back to, who was it? I think it's Wayne Gretzky that said, you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. You don't take it, whatever. Like, Michael Jordan had this thing about having, like, how many shots did he miss? But from all those shots that he took, a couple of them were game winners.
Yeah.
A couple of them were championship winners. And it's just like, okay, you missed a bunch. But the ones that counted, you made it because you shot. You know, and I really want to just fire that up into us and the listeners. Like, we need to overcome that fear. Like, okay, so we just came back from Legoland. And Grace loves rides. And she really, 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 really badly, badly wants our kids to love rides too. Our youngest, she absolutely hates rides. She can barely look at them. With every ride, she goes, "Mommy, is it a slow one?"
But I did get like force her when she was like way too young.
Yeah. So you scared her. But anyways, besides the point, but our oldest, he tries to like make you happy. And so he'll try things, right? And so we were at Legoland and he saw this one roller coaster. You were on your way to go on with him. And then he saw the big drop and he was like, "I am not doing that." And he was just, "No, no, 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 no. That one he wouldn't do." And then we saw this other one. It was like a dragon one in Legoland. And you were telling him, "Do it." But I think you've already kind of lost the trust in that area with him. And so he's like, "Nah, I don't trust you." And then you were like, "Well, daddy's going to do it with you." And I was like, "Come on, do it." And then I finally convinced him to do it. We're sitting in the line. And as we're getting closer, we get pretty much to the front where when we're about to go on the ride. And he starts, "Daddy, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Let's go. Like, get me out of here." And part of me was like, "Oh, man, I feel for you," because I used to be that kid. But I was way more scared than he was. He's a lot more of a daredevil than I am. I mean, you ask my parents, holy smokes, they would get mad at me. I would, honestly, at like a five years old, I'd be scared of the Ferris wheel. Like, who's scared of the Ferris wheel? But I'm scared. I felt like that stomach feeling, which is the thing that I hate. But anyways, he's like, "Daddy, get me out of here." Like, and I was like, "Oh man, should I?" I'm like, "No, no, no." And I'm like, and then I just remember I told him, I'm like, "You're fearful right now, but there's going to be times in our life where we're going to have fear, but we have to do it anyways." And I told him, "We have to conquer the fear and we have to conquer this ride. And I promise you, you're going to be okay. Daddy's going to be with you. I'm going to be here with you." I'm like, and bruh, you already know I hate rides. So if I'm telling you it's going to be okay, trust me, I told him. And so we get on the ride and sure enough, you know, there's like a you're going up, right? And he's like, "Daddy, there's going to be a drop. There's going to be a drop." And I'm like, "Dude, it's not that bad. There's going to be a drop. There's going to be a drop." And I told him right before we went down, I'm like, "Your fear is not going to let you enjoy this ride. This ride is going to be fun, but your fear is not letting you enjoy it." And sure enough, we go down and the drop was like minuscule. They even went slow in the drop and then finally sped up. And then when I told you, and then I told him, I'm like, "I told you, like, it's not bad at all." And then he let go of me and he's like, "Oh, daddy, I like it." When he said, "I like it," there was like 5 to 7 seconds left in the ride. But like putting that together with what we're saying right now is a lot of times our fear, A, doesn't allow us to step into that unknown and try what our heart and our being is really desiring. Because I do feel like God has almost like put a code or a program in us. Like, This is what your desire is going to be. Like, you won't be able to run away from it. Like, yeah. I'm sure with you teaching, like you would never be able to run away. Like, you could be like, "I'm done with teaching." And like, maybe in the first couple of weeks or months, like you're okay. But later on, you just have this thing inside you. Like, "You need to teach. You need to teach. You can teach. You could say this, you could say that." Right. And so, our fear doesn't allow us to step into that. And not only that, but our fear doesn't allow us to enjoy the process. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was trying to get to Elijah. I'm like, "Your fear is not going to let you enjoy this ride." And sure enough, when we finished the ride, he's like, "Can we do it again?" I'm like, "Bruh, I am not staying 45 minutes in this line for you to do this again just because you realize, oh, I like it, you know? And there's a lot of us that are like that. Like, fear doesn't allow us to step into the unknown, and fear doesn't allow us to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And like it, some of us are fearful every step of the way. Like, okay, we did it, but what if next time it implodes? What if next time I completely fail? What if next time I look like a fool? What if next time? And it's just like, we need to turn that around. We need to see that other side of the coin. Like, what if next time we completely bomb? But what if that same time that we bomb, we learn from it and we never bomb that same way again? Mm-hmm. And then maybe the next time you bomb again, but that doesn't mean quit. That just means, okay, there's another lesson that you could have learned. And as you're going through every single one of these situations, guess what? You're learning. You're learning. You're learning what to do. You're learning what not to do. You're learning from other people. You're learning from peers. You're learning from mentors. You're learning from all these things. Experience is what it really is about.
Yeah.
And I feel like experience has such a great weight. We go to going to school. You got a four-year degree, a bachelor's degree, right? You've been in school for 4 years. And then you go apply for a job for your degree. Guess what's the first thing that they ask you? How much experience do you have? Well, guess what? I've been in school for 4 years, so I have 4 years of school experience. That's about it. And a lot of employers will be like, nah, we need like real life experience at least 5 years. Mm. And it's just like, if nobody's willing to give me a chance to have these 5 years of experience, like how am I ever going to be able to be like, oh, here's your 5 years, you know? And experience weighs so much in the real world, in the spiritual world. Like it just weighs so much because you learn along the way more than just book knowledge, world experience will push you further, you know? And then that mixed in with a Christian mindset, a kingdom mindset, and wisdom, like, you're unstoppable. And I, in my personal opinion, I feel like I've gone most of my life learning through experience. And I was debating whether I was going to say this or not, because I do feel like part of me sounds foolish because it's so counter-cultural. Well, I don't know if it's countercultural now because it's starting to change, but for most of my life, I've kind of always just been taught and heard, like, you need to go to school. If you're not going to go to school, you're going to be a complete failure. Mm-hmm. You're not going to make any money. People want the paper. And at a young age, I remember being in my room and I was praying. And I honestly felt like God was like, what I have for you, you're not going to be able to find in a book. And it still moves me now because I still believe it. But again, I do feel foolish because most people or some people might be like, bruh, you're that sounds ignorant. Like you don't want to learn. And that's not the case. I think for me, the message that I heard, and maybe it was around because it was around the time where I didn't make it to go to university. You know, I was going through, like, I guess that internal struggle of like, what am I going to do with my life? Right. But I still strongly believe, and it's kind of worked out, that he basically said, like, what I have for you, you're not going to be able to find in a book, obviously, aside from the Bible. Okay. And I just felt affirmed and I felt loved in that moment where it was like, I've put something inside of you that with time, you're going to learn how to unfold it. You're going to learn how to flourish it. You're going to learn how to use it, really. And part of, I believe, my purpose is kind of what we're doing right now. It's just honestly to help people, to love people. I do have a desire for knowledge. So I do read books. I do consume podcasts. I do whatever I get passionate about. You know me, I just, I have to be like the best at it. Like I need to like learn everything. I need to be knowledgeable. But where I've learned the most in my personal life has been experience over anything. And I always believe like, okay, yeah, you can learn something in a book. You can learn something in a podcast. You can learn something in YouTube. You can learn something in a class, but not until you get your hands on it. Not until you go through the process yourself and see like, okay, maybe my way is going to be a little bit different than I was taught. Because let's say like you're doing something with your hands, like my fingers are small. Like, so I'm going to have to learn how to deal with that. You know, like whatever it is, like as you're going through the experience, you learn to adapt. And that's one of the best things that anyone could do is adapt. Life is not always going to be so cut and dry. It's not going to be a mold. It's not always going to look the same for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so we have to learn with experience. And so Yeah, we just have to be okay with overcoming the fear, going into the unknown, and going for it. Like, what do you think?
Yeah, I think for me, I do remember, which maybe might be a little bit hypocritical of me, because I remember when I was younger, I used to not, like my older sister, Mercy, would be asking me to get on, and she would kind of like bully me, and I'd be like, no, no, no. But then I remember going home and like, should I have gone? Should I have gone on? And it wasn't until I was like 12 or 13 where I started going on my big rides. Like I was so scared up until 12 and 13. Okay. And then it like flipped and I like loved that feeling. I'm like, yeah, this is scary, but this is an awesome feeling. And that's when I like wanted to try everything. And so I'm like, okay, is Elijah too young? Maybe he'll just get it. Like it'll click to him. Like this is actually fun. Like, yeah, this is a little scary, but this is fun. And I think one of the thoughts I had to have in regards to like roller coasters and rides was like, if it's my time to die, I'm gonna die. Like whether I cross the street, whether I fall asleep.
So every time you go on a ride, you're like, take me, Jesus.
No. I'm just saying like when it's my time, like I'm gonna go.
Yeah.
If it's not my time, like this ride was meant for to sustain me. Like this ride was created to get me on, have fun, and it's going to get me off. Mm-hmm. Like that's what it was for. And so like I guess I put my trust in this ride is going to do what its purpose is. Mm-hmm. And I think so many of us, we are afraid to go on because we don't trust the ride. Or it's two things. We don't trust the ride and we're like, I'm going to die. Like this is not made for me to get on. Mm-hmm. Or we trust, I'm not brave. And I know that I'm not going to die, but I cannot handle it. Like, I'm not courageous enough. I'm just a coward. Like, I'm a chicken. And they just label themselves as a chicken. Mm. So it's either you don't trust the ride and the person who created it, or you don't trust yourself and the person who created you. And in Earth, both of those lead to God. So it's like, are you going to trust the journey that, yes, you're going to fail? And there's going to be moments where your stomach is to your chest and it feels so scary. But how you said, you can enjoy it knowing that you look back and be like, oh my gosh, that was crazy. Like, I feel what you feel too, but I just choose to like love that feeling of mm-hmm. uncomfort.
You embrace it.
I embrace it. And I'm like, oh my God, like that's the part that makes it fun. Or are we going to, how you said, like be miserable and like cry. And it's like, I hate it. I never want to go on it again. Mm-hmm. And miss out a great part of like life. But again, I think people just label themselves as like, and that's what I tell my son, like, you're brave, like, you can do this, like, you're strong. And I hear adults like, I'm a chicken, I'm not going to go on that. Like, I'm just a scaredy cat. No, it's not for me. And it's like, no, you're not. But I wish we all saw life that way, that God made me. So this desire I have is for something, and he's not going to embarrass me, or he's not going to not follow me through. It says that everything he works out for his good. That includes us too. And same thing with this life. Like, it's going to suck. And there's going to be a lot of lows. Lows that we feel like that's the end of it. That's mm-hmm. where I should lay down and not get up. Or this is the end of me. And it's not. If we just push through and if we're faithful, it says that every time the glory that comes after is way more than we can imagine. And so, again, who's God to lie? Who's God to leave us at the top stranded and be like, get yourself down. You got yourself on this. Like, he's not that type of father.
Yeah. Yo, that was so powerful that you said, like, either you don't trust, you know, the creator. And I didn't like see it that way until you said it. I was like, oh man, that was really good.
Yeah.
And the embracing the process is really good as well. Like, yeah, we've kind of always said it, like, we can't expect life to just be rainbows and butterflies. We can't expect life just to be perfect on the first try. Again, that looks pretty, but what's beautiful is going through the process and we embracing and just like having be mentally prepared. There's going to be ups and downs.
Yeah.
But as long as we learn, we'll continue. Like, it's almost like the stock market. Like, it you'll have your ups and your lows, but if you continue to grow or continue to learn, you'll continue to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And, for the people that are thinking about businesses, things about finances, like, I follow this page. I just recently started following. It's this dude is like really interesting. So it's, I believe it's called the School of Hard Knocks. Mm-hmm. And what this dude does, I don't know how he finds these people, but he finds like millionaire successful people. And he asks them like, what do you do? Like, how did you get there? And yeah. almost always he's asked them, have you ever been broke? And almost all of them say, yes, mm-hmm. I have. And some of them even open up and say like, I tried this and I went broke, but I tried it again and I got it. Mm-hmm. You know, like going broke. Like imagine like, I'm going to start this business. I'm believing it's going to be successful. I'm believing God has prepared me for this. I'm believing I have the skills and talents and all this stuff. And you go and boof, you go broke.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people would just be like, done. I failed. This was not meant to be. I don't know what the heck this feeling inside of me, but I got it wrong.
Yeah.
But and that's why I kind of go along with like the whole better everyday champions. Because it takes a champion mindset to be like, although I hit rock bottom, that is not going to stop me. Mm-hmm. Because those people know that if they were to walk away, that feeling inside of them is not going away.
Yeah.
And I truly believe it's a God-given feeling. It's a God-given like code or program that he's placed. It's like part of the DNA. Like it's this feeling that doesn't let you like be still. Mm-hmm. It's like, go do it. Go do it. Go learn, like go get the experience, go. And I feel like a lot of us have that, but again, are being stopped by all these things. And it's like, we just need to realize, we need to see the world in full colors. And it's weird for me to say that because I'm black and white. But what I mean is like, when you see it black and white, it's either I'm going to completely fail and I quit, or I'm gonna completely succeed and awesome. Mm-hmm. But the world full in colors is I'm going to try. I'm going to overcome my fear because I'm going to feel fear. I'm going to go do it. I may fail, but I won't stop because I know failure or setbacks is part of the process. And eventually I will make it to where God is calling me to go.
Yeah.
And how great, we always do the analogy of the mountain. How great is it to go through the process of climbing a mountain? And when you get to the top, you look back at how far you've come and just being like, all of it was worth it. All of it. Mm-hmm. The failures, I broke my ankle. My nails came off of my toes. Like I got dehydrated, but I kept pushing forward and I made it.
Yeah. And I think that's what people in fitness, or that's why I love hiking. Cause hiking to me, like I'm not the most physical person. Like I just am not. But hiking to me shows me like what I'm made of. Like it's all mental. It's me feeling this pain and saying, Grace, just walk. Like Grace, just do it. It's like a mental battle. Like mm-hmm. who is going to, what Grace is going to come through?
Yeah.
Which Grace am I going to listen to? Which Grace is stronger? Like, cause I'm like, sit down, take a break. But I know if I sit down and take a break, like I'm going to stay there.
Yeah.
So it's like, no, keep going. And it's sad because as children, if you ask my son, if you ask my daughter, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Like, we all have, it's embedded in us. It's mm-hmm. natural to say these huge dreams. I want to be a soccer player. I want to be a paleontologist. I want to be a scientist. Like, whatever it is, you want to be a doctor. And yeah, you know, some of them are childish dreams. But the passion, the belief in oneself mm-hmm. is amazing. And it's like, as we get older, and that's why it's sad, because I want to say, again, it's ultimately those two things. Like, do I not trust life that I can't, like, it's going to be cruel to me? Or do I not trust myself that I am capable mm-hmm. and God like created me exactly who I need to be? Because as you get older, it's like, whose voice are you going to be listening to?
Yeah.
Because God talks to people, God speaks to people, but it gets to a point where, and it has happened to me, like when we go through financial problems and stuff like that, like there's moments where I get toxic and I allow myself, like, okay, I'm going to feel the feelings, but sometimes it can be toxic. And I start believing like, I'm never going to be wealthy. I'm just never going to reach it. I'm just never going to get to the other side. Like I'm done. Like, what's the point? And it's like, I can choose to listen to that. And I feel like it could be very easy for me to just wallow in my pity and stay there and make a hole where I can't get out of. Mm-hmm. But there's another side of me that I choose to listen to where it's like, Grace, you're made for this life. Like, you're made to be wealthy. Like, you know that you will not be content and you won't feel like you succeeded if you stay there. And so it's like, I have to make a choice. Whose voice am I going to listen to? And it's sad because so many people, whether it's maybe their parents that stole your identity from you, whether it was your classmates, your peers, whether it's the world, internet saying like, you're not good enough, you can't do this, but they choose to listen to that. Where it's God has instilled in all of us that desire, all that passion, that purpose, but we just choose to listen to it. And we like, it kind of freezes people. Because I truly believe it's a lack of identity and trust in the creator of not letting someone succeed what they're meant to be.
Yeah, 100%. And the way that I kind of see it is, I've told a couple of people, I'm like, I don't want to be on my deathbed and be like, I lived on this round planet, Earth, for, let's call it 82 years. And I never got to see it all. I'd be like, that's such a shame. Mm-hmm. How did I live on this planet and I didn't get to see the beauty that God created, right? And in the same way, I feel like, how many of us would be on our deathbed at 82, let's say, and be like, what a shame that I didn't take the chances that God was calling me to do, that I didn't step out of fear to be able to fulfill the purpose that God had for me.
Yeah.
Like, what a shame it would be to just go through just a daily routine and never like stepping into something meaningful, purposeful, great. Like, it's like there's a world inside of you that needs to be discovered. And God is calling you to discover it. But some of us, again, fear. I feel like fear is like the biggest thing. And I want to encourage you guys to just, that fear is never going to go away.
Yeah.
It's never going to go away. No matter how equipped you are, no matter how knowledgeable you are, the moment that you're about to cross that line, the anxiety is going to be at level 1,000. But you still need to make the decision to be brave enough, I'm still going to do it anyways.
Yeah.
The moment that you do that, you take the power that fear has over your life completely away. Completely away. And it's just like, I want to plead to everybody, don't get to that point where you're on your deathbed and it's like, I didn't do it. Mm-hmm. I didn't do what God was calling me to do. I never fed this like feeling that God placed in me to do something more. Mm-hmm. I played it safe my whole life. I didn't do it. And I feel like that, you don't want to get there. You don't want to, because you never get your time back. You can never reverse time. Like you're there and just like maybe wallowing in regret.
Yeah.
Like what my desire is for everyone to be there and be like, I did it. I'm coming, God. Mm-hmm. But whatever it is that you told me to do here, I did it. And I did it to the best of my abilities. I overcame fear and I learned along the way. I gained so much experience. I met so many people. I blessed as many as I could. Like, fulfillment on the last day, fulfillment, just like, take me, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. I loved the people that I needed to love. I blessed the people that I needed to bless. I got to see everything that I needed to see. I'm ready.
Yeah. And as you were talking, like that fulfillment model is, I remember in psychology taking a class about the stages of like fulfillment. And it's crazy because again, it proves to me that there is a creator because all of us humans are very similar. Like these psychologists do their studies and they say, okay, we all have this need of wanting to trust, this need of wanting to do something, this need of feeling validated. And then almost always on the deathbed, what are people thinking of? That, like, did I fulfill what I wanted to fill? Did I complete my role? And it's crazy that every single person, whether you were raised on the other side of the country, whether you didn't have parents, whether you did, whatever your life looks like, we're all going to be in bed asking ourselves that last question. And mm-hmm. I was looking at like the different stages. And the first one is trust versus mistrust, which is crazy because that happens when you're like a baby, right? Like, can you trust the world or not? Like that starts with your mother's bond, your parents' bond. And we were saying like, what was I saying? Like, I think the two issues are, it's like, you either don't trust like life, the right, or you don't trust the creator and like who you are. And so if you have a good trusting foundation, like that's the basis, but then it goes on to like the other stages as you're a kid and then as you're a teen and then a midlife crisis of like, oh my goodness, I'm like, life is getting ahead of me. Like I need to do something to feel alive. And then back to like industry, are you working? Do you feel fulfilled in your job? And then it goes to the identity versus confusion. Like, did I identify and did I fulfill everything that I meant to fulfill? Or like now am I sitting in bed like confused, like what, miserable, like did I just waste my whole life? But all of us humans have this fulfillment need. It's called like the psychology of like fulfillment, the stages. And I truly believe it just shows that like we are all meant to have a purpose, and that's why we ask ourselves these questions, and that's why as humans we have these different stages in life where we doubt ourselves and then we feel like, should I be doing something more, you know? And it's natural, but what's not natural is to wield your identity or like to like give and surrender your purpose because it's too difficult or because the voices of negativity are louder. I think we all have, we're all going to hit a crossroad and be like, what path do we take? And hopefully it's the path that's harder, because we've always said like, if it's harder, that means there's something great on the other side that the enemy doesn't want you to take, but it's going to take some hard work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess just to conclude, we need to trust God and what he did, and that what he did was right in us. If we can do that, I think we can have enough courage to be able to overcome fear. And again, overcoming fear is like going, maybe it's not a 20-mile hike up a mountain, but overcoming fear might be like a 1-mile hike where you're just like, I did it. I got over the first step. I got over the first peak, let's say. And just like when you get to those points, and that's when like your relationship with God even begins to strengthen. It's because you're like, God, I took a leap of faith and I trusted you.
Yeah.
And you came through. Again, I also want to talk against expectations to conclude. Because some of us, again, have the expectation of on the first try, I'm going to freaking kill it. That might not be it. It might take you years to kill it. So throw in that expectation of it needs to be a 100%. And this probably goes more for the perfectionist.
Yeah.
But it needs to be 100%. Like, no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. All that needs to happen is you being willing to learn. That's it. Learn. And so trust in God. Your relationship is going to get so much better. You're going to overcome fear. And as you practice overcoming fear, it may get a little easier and easier. Because I feel like through all my experiences, I've said it before, where I feel like, oh, like that situation, I've gone through worse. I'm fine. You know, like it does make you stronger as you're exercising that muscle of faith, that muscle of trust, that muscle of overcoming fear. Like you do get stronger. It does get a little bit easier. And you're practicing it. So it's part of your lifestyle. It's part of who you are. I'm an overcomer. I'm a conqueror. I conquer fear. I go do what God is calling me to do. And again, you won't see the beauty that God has placed in you and around you until you can overcome fear, until you can cross that line. There's, let's say, as an analogy, there's a world for you to discover. But if you're just going to play it safe, it's going to be a boring time. And it's not going to be very fulfilling. You're going to be safe, sure, in your own little bubble. But you're not going to see wonders. You're not going to see amazingness. You're not going to see awesomeness. You're not going to experience all that in your bubble. Because what are you doing in that bubble? You're just trying to, you're practicing self-preservation, which is in a way selfish. You're just worrying about you. You're not worried about anybody else. And you don't also realize that if you step over that line of fear and you do what God has calling you to do, what he has placed in you, that you also have a responsibility to bless others. You're basically saying, nah, forget it. Somebody else can do it. But again, when you get to that last day, I think those people are going to regret it. So to end, I just want to encourage you guys, please, please. This is a plead from me. It's a plea for my wife. Please, please. And I, this is not a joke. Like, I'm really like almost begging you guys, because we want to see all of you guys succeed.
Yeah.
We want to see you guys. We want to see more people step over that line of fear and be able to just step into their purpose. And there's such a light to that. There's such a, yeah, just a light to it that shines in this world when people actually do that and start trusting God and building that relationship with God. And as you're trusting God and you're going through all these experiences, you get to know God in different aspects of your life. Mm-hmm. And you begin to build this like character of God. Like, God is who you allow him, how you allow yourself to experience him. And so it's just so beautiful. And so please, please, please think about it. Pray about it. Think about what is really stirring up in you. Pray about it. Ask for confirmation, whatever it is that you need. But just at least make that mental decision. I want to start working towards me stepping over this line. Yeah. Because that is going to be a blessing to yourself, to your family, to the people around you. It's going to be. And we would love to hear those stories, because honestly, that would break me. That would just, it would move me. It just, I think that's what I really desire to see, is people that were one day in fear step out in courage and be like, nah, we're going to do this and we're going to do it together. And you guys can be the better everyday champions.
Yes.
So we want to thank you so much for joining us for this episode. And it's been such a fun ride, and we are ready and willing to continue moving forward. We ourselves are being challenged with some of these episodes. God's just like, all right, let's test it. Let's go. Boom. Yes. But we are learning along the way. The good thing is that me and my wife have each other. And she doesn't give me her hand right now. Oh, that's beautiful. we have each other, and we get to encourage each other. We get to love each other. We get to support each other, push each other. And that's one thing that I love about our relationship. And I pray that you guys can find that as well, if you guys don't have it yet. But if you do, I hope you guys are enjoying it, because it is amazing to do life with your other half and be able to just see God's glory manifest in your life. And that's what I've been seeing each and every day with us. And yeah, we thank you guys for joining us. We love you guys. Like always, like, subscribe, follow, share, comment, all the good stuff. And we will see you in the next one.
Bye.
Bye.